Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The times we are living in have been labelled unprecedented, and I'm sure it's a word we have all been using in connection to our changed circumstances. However, until recently, it's not a word I have used very often. In fact, when I wanted to look up the definition of unprecedented, I wasn't quite sure how to spell it. According to the Cambridge English Dictionary, unprecedented refers to something never having happened or existed in the past. Some might argue that there have been similar flu-like epidemics in previous times, which is true. But none have happened in the same way or in the same culture as we live in today, and none perhaps have had the same global impact. At the beginning of 2020, I wonder if, like us, you were making plans for this year. We were looking ahead and thinking about holidays, my father-in-law's 90th birthday celebration in July, and a family wedding in August. Little did we know that so much would change in such a short space of time. In line with the imagery of Psalm 23, perhaps we took the green pastures and still waters of life in 21st century Great Britain for granted, and didn't realise that before long we might be walking through the darkest valley, or a valley of the shadow of death. Our lives seemed so settled and secure, and then suddenly that security was shaken by a deadly virus, leading to a dramatic change to our freedom and the way we live our lives. Today, I want to look at Psalm 23 to help us to gain insights into how we might live during these unprecedented times. We have all been asked to stay at home to keep us safe and to preserve our physical health. But this very necessity may be affecting us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Psalm 23 is probably one of the most well-known and well-loved psalms, and has brought comfort to many over the years. King David, the author of Psalm 23, certainly knew what it was like to live through unprecedented times, and he knew what it was like to run in fear for his life. He knew emotional, mental, and physical distress, and yet through it all, he trusted that God would bring him through. King David starts Psalm 23 by imagining his Lord as a shepherd. David was an experienced shepherd himself, and so this was an easy link for him to make. He uses the words, "The Lord is my shepherd," which suggests an intimate relationship between David and his Lord. In other psalms, David uses more distant images to describe his relationship with God, such as the king or deliverer. But in Psalm 23, there is the intimate picture of the shepherd living with his flock. The shepherd is with his flock and is everything the flock needs. The guide, the physician, and the protector. This intimate relationship is echoed in the New Testament, when Jesus describes himself as the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." It is a close and personal relationship. The sheep listen to and recognize the shepherd's voice, and he calls them by name. In John 10, verse 11, we read that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And over Easter in particular, we remembered that Jesus gave his life for us and died in our place on the cross. I have divided this message into three parts. First of all, I want to look at God's faithfulness and provision in the past. Then, at God's presence in the present. And finally, God's promise for the future. So first of all, God's faithfulness and provision in the past. In the first few verses of Psalm 23, David describes what it's like for a sheep to live with the shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." The sheep lack nothing because the shepherd provides for all their needs. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." The sheep lie down and rest in a fertile and relaxing place, and the picture is one of peace and tranquility. As we picture this scene, some of us may be feeling peaceful, but I wonder if some of us are feeling anything but peaceful. Many of us may be feeling anxious and afraid. We may be filled with fear for the present and the future. We may be afraid of the unknown, because none of us know what will be the outcome of this unprecedented time. One thing we can do to help us is to look back and remember God's provision and faithfulness in the past, and use this as evidence on which to base our confidence that he will provide for us and be faithful towards us now and in the future. When we go through a difficult time, we all have choices, and being aware of this can help us to make the best choice. We can choose to see our present circumstances as hopeless with no way out and forget the fact that God has never failed us yet. Or we can choose to remember that God has been faithful to us in the past and has never let us down. We can therefore rely upon this evidence to trust him in the present difficult time. I remember some years ago I faced a choice when, as a family, we were going through a difficult time and I was really struggling. My eyes were focused on the impossibility of the situation. And in my mind, God seemed so far away and uncaring. This lack of trust and unbelieving attitude did me no favours, I can tell you. I was anxious, afraid, stressed, and very angry with God for not answering my prayers and for letting me down. In fact, I was thoroughly miserable. I remember one day during this time painting a room in our house. And as I painted, I used the brush and roller to express my frustration and anger to God. As I slapped on the paint, I told God exactly how I felt and that I felt he'd let me down. It was very therapeutic, I can tell you. You may be shocked when you hear about my behaviour, but God is so much bigger than our fear and anger. And he is gracious and merciful when we come to him just as we are. Not very long after this painting incident, the seemingly impossible situation we were in began to change, and I saw God's faithfulness and miracle-working power in action to heal and restore. Of course, then I was ashamed of my behaviour and lack of trust, and I confessed my unbelief to God, and he restored me. I learnt a lesson during that time. I can choose to trust the evidence of God's faithfulness in the past, or I can choose to look at the present circumstances and worry and be afraid. From my experience, when I didn't trust God, I was the one who suffered. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." In other words, keep trusting God even when you don't understand what is happening, and trust God for the solution and not yourself. We don't know what's going to happen in the next few weeks and months, but we do know the shepherd who provides in every way for his sheep. In Psalm 23 verse 3, David says that the Lord refreshes or restores his soul. My understanding of the soul is that it is the spiritual part of us that relates to God and is at the very centre of our being. So what does restore our soul mean? When you restore something, you return it to where it was or what it was before. I don't know if any of you have watched the TV programme The Repair Shop. It's become very popular recently. In this programme, expert craft people use their talents to restore heirlooms and treasures to their former glory. Objects that have got worn and a bit battered are restored and made useful and beautiful again. I wonder if just as those objects get restored, this is a time when our souls can get restored. You may wonder how that can be done. I said at the beginning that many of us may have been feeling secure at the beginning of 2020, but then that security was shattered. I wonder what we were basing our security on. Our good health, our jobs and financial security, our homes and our families, the routines and things that we do each day that we expected would just carry on the same. Perhaps the coronavirus will cause us to question where our security comes from. Perhaps it's time to refocus our security on Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and who will never let us down. Our souls may have got a bit battered, and they need to be reset and renewed. Also, many of us now have extra time to pray, listen to worship songs, and read our Bibles. We may have been happily wandering along at the back of the flock, far from the shepherd, but perhaps now we have time to draw near to him and to be restored. Next, I want to look at God's presence in the present. The psalmist says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. For you are with me." We are not going through this valley on our own, for the Lord is with us. I don't know about you, but I would feel much safer walking through somewhere scary with someone else rather than being on my own. However, the psalmist is not just saying that we have any old companion as we go through the valley of the shadow of death, but rather we have an amazing companion. He is the one who said in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." What a difference this companion makes. We may be feeling isolated and alone, but God is no respecter of walls or boundaries, and he is with us wherever we are by his Holy Spirit. We not only have God's presence with us, but we also have his protection. David says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The rod described here was probably like a cudgel, which the shepherd used as a weapon to protect his sheep from other animals. The staff was like a crook which the shepherd used to guide his sheep in the right direction so that they didn't wander off and come to harm. So in the valley of the shadow of death, the shepherd had the right tools to keep the flock safe. Our shepherd, King Jesus, has defeated our enemies on the cross and has sent his Holy Spirit to comfort and guide us. We do not need to be afraid when he is with us. Having God's presence with us at this unprecedented time is the most important factor for our well-being. But there are also some things that we can do to protect and help ourselves. First of all, we can exercise. The government has recognised that exercise is very important as an aid to people's well-being and has recommended that if possible, we all take some exercise every day. It is interesting that in Psalm 23, David talks about lying and resting in the green pastures, but then walking through the valley. It's not safe to stay in the valley, and so it's good to keep on moving to get through it. It's not surprising that there is a general spirit of fear and anxiety at the moment, and this can be heightened by the isolation that many of us are experiencing. In normal circumstances, fear is a useful emotion and is necessary to keep us safe. Fear triggers the release of adrenaline in response to a threat. When that threat is continuous and goes on for a period of time, just as in these unprecedented times, adrenaline keeps pumping out and around our bodies but has nowhere to go. Exercise helps to use up this adrenaline and will help us to feel less stressed. Any form of exercise is beneficial. Even just moving around a room is better than sitting still all day. The second way we can protect ourselves is to guard our thoughts. Paul advises in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 that we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Our thinking underpins everything we feel and do. Put simply, if we think that everything is going well, we are more likely to feel positive and happy and to do things that enhance our well-being. If we think that everything is going wrong, we will behave accordingly and feel anxious and depressed. A lot of the news at the moment is bad news. And I have found that if I spend a lot of time watching, reading, or listening to it, it can really influence how I think and feel. So in order to guard my thoughts, I am choosing to limit the amount of news I am exposed to. Instead, I am trying to fill my thoughts with positive things. As Paul writes in Philippians 4 verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Thinking about positive things will help us to feel more positive. In fact, going for a walk and looking out for the signs of spring and nature around us combines exercise with thinking about positive things. The third way we can protect ourselves and others is to be careful of what we say. I was in a shop a few weeks ago before the lockdown and got into a conversation with one of the shop workers and another customer. The conversation seemed to deteriorate until it became like a competition over who had heard the worst news regarding the coronavirus. I came out of that shop feeling quite shocked and decided that from then on that if I heard any bad news, I was going to guard my mouth and not share it with anyone. There is enough bad news around at the moment without me adding to it. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Let us try and encourage each other by what we say, and thereby we will be making those around us feel better. The fourth way we can help ourselves is to be grateful. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 we read, "Give thanks in all circumstances." As we wash our hands for the required 20 seconds, perhaps we can take the opportunity to think of our many blessings and to thank God for them. Even just having clean water to wash with is such a tremendous blessing. And the fifth way we can protect ourselves is to connect with other people. I have already mentioned how much better I would feel being in a scary place if someone else was with me. All of us can reach out to others and help them navigate through this unprecedented time. It makes such a difference to know you are not alone. There are so many ways of connecting today. We can ring, text, FaceTime, email, and the list goes on. Don't wait for others to contact you. Take the initiative and contact them. This is a way of sharing God's love during this difficult time. Finally, I want to consider God's promise for the future. The last few verses in Psalm 23 talk about God preparing a table for us. The commentaries suggest that the imagery changes here from the shepherd and the sheep to the host and the guest, because sheep probably would find it difficult to sit at a table. In the world of the Old Testament, to eat and drink at someone's table created a bond of mutual loyalty. To be God's guest is to be more than an acquaintance. It is to live with him and to have journeyed home. This meal symbolizes the threat being turned into a triumph, with even greater intimacy as God has gone to the trouble of preparing it especially for us. The valley of the shadow of death has been successfully navigated, and the guest has arrived at their destination. There is abundance at this well-set table, with festive oil and a brimming cup, anticipating a victory celebration. There is also the echo of the Last Supper, with Jesus the host preparing the table and giving himself for us. His death turned into victory as he triumphed over the cross. And this is the crux of everything. We do not need to fear these unprecedented times, because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We do not need to fear the valley of the shadow of death, because he has promised that if we believe in him, we will have eternal life. Psalm 139 verse 16 says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." We do not need to fear, because our lives are in God's hands anyway, and that is the safest place for us to be. The last verse in Psalm 23 says, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The promise for the future is that we will live in God's house with him. Jesus said in John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So in conclusion, in these unprecedented times, we might be feeling afraid and imagining all the worst things that might happen. But the Lord is my shepherd, and he is your shepherd. He is with us in these difficult times, and he will walk with us as we go through them. God has been faithful and provided for us in the past. God is always present with us. And the promise that God has for the future is that we will dwell in his house forever. I pray that the words of Psalm 23 may bring comfort to you all in the coming days.